Today's shiur is Masechta Shabbos, Daf Kuf Lamed Ches. We will begin on Daf Kuf Lamed Zayin Amud Beis, two lines from the bottom of Chama Aymer. We had learned in the previous Mishnah, the Mishnah had discussed about being able to put up a strainer on Yontif, on in Shabbos. And the Mishnah quoted the opinion of Reb Lezer, whom we discussed in our previous shiur, and then it discussed the opinion of the Chachamim that said we may not put up that strainer on Yontif, and certainly it may not be put up on Shabbos. Ask the Gemara Boiluhu, Tola, if somebody did put up the strainer on Shabbos, Mai, what is the halacha? Is it considered that he violated an Issa deraisa, and it'll be Chayiv Karbuchatis if he did a Bishayig? Or is it considered that he violated a Drabonon and he won't be Chayiv Karbuchatis? Amr Rabbi Yosef, to which Rabbi Yosef said, putting up such a strainer on Shabbos involves a chiv deraisa, a malacha deraisa, and his chayiv chatas for doing so. And same thing will be on Yontif. That there's no chatas for violating Yontif b'shagig, but it will be considered that he did a malacha deraisa. Amalei Abaya. So Abaya asked to him, according to you, El Ma'ata, that you hold that doing so involves an issa deraisa, Talakuza bekisasa. If somebody hangs up a jug from a peg, hachinami mechayiv. So Taisus the Ramaskal Ella explains that Abaya was meaning to ask in this question that if you're going to say that putting up a strainer is considered such a serious malacha that it's considered a malacha deraisi chayiv chatas, so hanging up a jog on a peg should also be considered a malacha deraisa. The Ritva disagrees, and Ritva says that Abaya never meant to say that just because putting up a strainer is considered making an oil and is also in Shabbos, hanging up a jog on a peg should have the same din. That was never what he meant to say. What he meant to say was that if hanging up a strainer is considered so serious that if one does so, he's chayiv for malacha deraisa, then it ought to be that if you did it, that if you put up a jug, it won't be a deraisa, but should be a derabbanan. But we know that you're allowed to hang up a jug on Shabbos. So how do we understand your psak? Elam Abaya, and therefore Abaya says, midrabbanan, the reason it may not be done is because it's an issa derabbanan, it's not an issa deraisa. And the Gemara introduces a new concept here. And that is, it's ovda dechol. The Gemara now is teaching us that on Shabbos, at certain times, Chazal said that you may not do different activities because they're considered an ovda dechol. And when we speak about the issa of ovda dechol, it's very difficult to pin down exactly what is or isn't in the category of Uvda Dechol. The Tiferes Yisrael in the Sefer Kelkelos Shabbos says in Siman Aleph, gives three conditions which have to be fulfilled to make something be considered an Uvda Dechol. He says one is when it's similar to one of the Lamates Malachas. It's not actually a Malacha, but it's similar to one of the Lamates Malachas. Second is where it's very easy if you do what is as identified as Uvda Dechol, you're very likely to come to do an Issa Deraisa. And the third condition, he says, is that Uvda Dechol is something that involves Tirchi Yaseira, excessive exertion. And therefore, anything is in that category. And therefore, for example, the Shalos HaTshuvos Chelkas Yaakov discusses a question: if somebody's allowed to take dirty laundry on Shabbos and put it into the washing machine, is that considered an Uvda Dechol? And he says that although certainly one can make an argument that putting something into a washing machine is considered very similar to what we do all week long, but he says if we look at all the conditions that we just identified to be considered an Uvda Dechol, none of those conditions were met, and therefore it's not considered Osir on Shabbos. And therefore, now we can understand. The hanging up of the Mishmeres, of the strainer, is considered of the Dechol. The hanging up of the jug is not considered of the Dechol. And I saw that the Chazon Ish explains what is the difference. Number one, he says that when they hang up, when they put up the strainer, it's put up very tight. That's not when you hang up something on a peg. The Kuza, and this is going to be a very important concept that we're going to use in our coming Shiurim. The Kuza doesn't serve any purpose for anything under it. A very important element in identifying a Malacha as Binyan is not when you need the, when you, the area under what you built has gains from this. Here, there's nothing to gain from the area under it. And when it's normal, it's normal when you come home, so you take whatever you're wearing or whatever you're using. They didn't have as much closet space as we do, so they used to hang things up on a peg. But putting a strainer up is not something that's that common. And therefore, even though hanging up, putting up a strainer is usher, hanging up the jug on the pit, on the peg is not. Says the Gemara, Manket Abaya, Chumrei Masnisa V'Tani. Abaya took different halachas that are learned in different brises and learned them together, categorized them. The ones that are usher, he put into the same category. The ones that are muti, he put into the same category. The first case he spoke about was Hagoid. Hagoid is a leather bag. This is a bag that's made out of leather, and it has drawstrings. And it was sort of an invention that was used by travelers to carry liquids such as wine and milk. When a traveler would stop for the night, he would hang up the bag by opening up its very wide mouth and stretching it over sticks, and the air circulating beneath and around the bag made guaranteed that what was in the bag would not spoil. The Braisa teaches us that we're not to suspend such a bag on Shabbos in such a way, because doing this is considered making an oil. It's not a Issa D'Raisa, but it's certainly considered making an oil. Hamishmeris is what we started our Shia today, hanging up this strainer. Hakila is hanging up a canopy, which we will discuss extensively later in the shiur. The Kisei Galin. Kisei Galin is a chair that was used by the people from Galin. It was more like a bed, and they could disassemble and reassemble the bed. And that was also in the category of binyan. Again, all of these cases are Asa Midrabanan, says the Gemara. In all these cases, layasa, they should not be done on Shabbos. V'masar, but if somebody did them, patal avos, it's only in Issa the Rabbanan. By the good and the mishmeres and the kila, the iser is because you're making an oil harai. Because if it would be considered a real oil, Tosfos tells us it would be considered boina. And by kisa galin, we're concerned, Rashi explains, that if we're going to allow you to assemble the bed, you may assemble the bed by screwing in the legs tightly, which that would be considered an iser binyan. Tosfos also says that all of these things that are osur are only osur, as we mentioned a moment ago, when there are mechitzas, when there are sides to what we are constructed. But if there's nothing on the side, there is no problem of binyan. Binyan has to also have something on the side. Olekva, on the other hand, if you make a full-fledged oil, that loyasa may not be constructed in Shabbos. The Moslem, if one does so, b'shogig, his chayiv chatas. But continues the Gemara, Avol mita, putting together a bed, v'kisei traskel, a folding chair, the asla is a folding toilet seat. All of those muta lechatchila. All of those may be done lechatchila because it's not considered that you really constructed an oil. And since it's not considered that you constructed an oil, even an oil arai, therefore there is no iser in doing this on Shabbos and certainly not on Yom Tov. So Rashi explains what makes a kisei traskel that not osur. So Rashi says that you take it apart and then you take it apart and put it together all the time. And therefore, since it's done back and forth, Rashi seems to learn it's not considered osur on Shabbos. And therefore, that this is the basis I saw that the Shor Mitzion by Locha Paskins, that you could open and close a table, a folding table, a folding chair, a folding bed, may open and closed on Shabbos. And he says not only that, but he says you could even extend a table or shorten your table, all of that is in the category of oil arai. And again, because you're not making anything on the side, it makes it much more mutter. So it's interesting to look in Rashi. Rashi says, Kivishen oisakein el tsarech yeshiva. Rashi devre masko avol mita. Since it's only meant for sitting, lekach mutter. But then Rashi in devre masko va'asla explains that the reason you're allowed to make an asla, since it's oimid v'kayim, I'm reading the words of Rashi, it's not considered an oil. So the Magen Avraham explains that Rashi really holds that something that's really there all the time is not considered an oil. A chair is oimid v'kayim. But Rashi also wants to add that he wants to teach us a very important element as we keep on learning about Hilchos Oil. And that is, if I'm not using the area under it, it makes it much easier to be considered mutter. So I saw that the Shas Tshuva Silmas Chaim from Yosef Chaim Zinnenfeld, Zatzal, in Simon Ayin Beis, discusses already in his time, we have this as well, that used to have these sets you could buy that you can construct a miniature Mishkan. And the question is, are you allowed to put it together and do so on Shabbos? And the Rabbi Yosef Chaim says that lo nearly klal heter. I can't find a heter to put these kind of projects to get together on Shabbos. And it seems, he explains, that the reason is because something that's meant to be there on a permanent basis, as we just discussed, if it's not meant to be there on a permanent basis, it's much easier to be lenient. But if somebody puts together the Mishkan, this miniature Mishkan, or any type of such project, and it's meant to be kept there more on a permanent basis, it would be usur. And that's why I saw that the Pesukim suggest that when it comes to these various Lego sets or different such projects that people want to put together on Shabbos, if they immediately disassemble them, it's much easier to be makel, as we just learned in our Gemara. Very nice and clear b'Shabbos. We learned further in our Mishnah that the halacha is that you can't put wine, you can't pour wine over a strainer on Shabbos. Ask the Gemara Boilu, Shimamai, if somebody did so, what is the halacha? Omer of Kahana, Shima Chayv Chattis. If he does so, he's Chayv Chattis. Ask the Gemara, Maskel Rav Sheshes, Mika Midi, is there some, can we have an area in halacha? That is according to the Rabbanan, it's Osim Midaraisa. If you did it on Shabbos, B'Shogig, Rachman Tzlan, you'd be Chayv Chattis. Rabbi Loza Shari Lechatchila, we learned in yesterday's Mishnah, the Rebbe Lezer holds in such that you may do this l'chatchila. In other words, we don't find, as the Gemara in Halacha, such extremes in Psak, that one mandama says that it's mutter, and the other mandama says it's an issa deraisa. Maskla Rav Yosef. So Rav Yosef says, Alom Allah, why do you say there is no such halachic precedent? Harei Irshalzov, which the Gemara is going to identify in a moment. The Rebbe Meir says, if you wear an Ir Shel Zav on Shabbos, you mechayiv chatas. Rebbe Lezer holds shori that it's mutter, lechatchila. So we see that there is circumstances where there are extremes in halacha. So ask the Gemara, what is meant by the Ir Shel Zav? Mayhi, the Tanya, we learned earlier on Daf Nun Tesomabes, Leteitzi Isha B'Ishazov. A woman may not go out on Shabbos wearing the Ishazov. V'yotzo Chayiv Chatas, it's not considered a Tachshit. As we learned when we learned those Sugyas, the halacha is that something which is a Tachshit, something which is a Malbush, is not maybe worn on Shabbos. It's not considered a Masa. But if it's not in the category of a Malbush or a Tachshit, it may not be worn on Shabbos because it's considered a Masa. So he obviously considers it, Rameyer obviously considers this a Masa. Divrei Rameyer. The Chum's opinion is, Loi Teitze, it may not be worn on Shabbos, Midrabonim. Because as we learned in those Sugyas, they are concerned that you may, even though it's a Tachshit, and a Tachshit, as we just said, may be worn on Shabbos, but they were concerned that you may come to, that the woman may come off Shema Tishalfa. She may take it off and show it to her friends. And therefore, in Yotza, if she does wear it, she's Ptura, it's not a Chiv Derais, it's only Chiv Derabonin. Rabbi Lezoima, Yotzi Shazov L'Chatchila, it's considered a full-fledged Tachshit, and since it's considered a full-fledged Tachshit, you could wear it on Shabbos. But what do we see over here? That they argue in extremes. Amalei Abaya. So Abaya says, Mi Savrit, Rabbi Leza Ad Ramei Koi. You're assuming that Rabbi Leza and Ramei were speaking to each other. And Ramei says it's Sinisa Deraisa. And Rabbi Leza holds it's Mutter Lechatchila. Dom Mechaev Chatas. Says the Gemara, Rabbi Leza was addressing the Rabbanon. The Rabbanon said, Pata Avalosser comes along Rabbi Leza and says, Vamalei Iu, that it's Mutter Lechatchila. So, in other words, the machlokes is between Ramei and the Rabbanon, again, not extremes, either Issa Deraisa, Issa Derabbanan, or between Ramei and Rebbe Lezer, again, not extremes, either Issa Derabbanan or Mutter Lechatchila. There's a very interesting short Tosfos here. The Tosfos in quoting on this Gemara says, Lo Yod Rebbe Mai Komishani. And everybody tries to understand what does Tosfos mean when he says, Lo Yod Mai Komishani. So the posh pshat is that the Gemara's teretz is difficult to understand. Because although the Gemara is attempting to say that Rebbe Lezer is addressing the Chachamim, he's not addressing Rameya, but the reality is that we have here a machloikus of extremes. And Tosfos says the question that the Gemara began with, that how do we have a machloikus of extremes, has not been answered. But I saw different pshat, that the gears of Tosfos, Layoda Rebbe Mai Komishani. Tosfos is saying, he's explaining that Rebbe Lezer, Layoda, did not know what Rameya held. And since he was unaware of Rameya's opinion, he was only aware of the Rabbanon's opinion. And according to the Rabbanon, it's only awesome with Rabbanon. That's why Rebbe Lezer could legitimately say, I hold it's Mutter Lechatchila. Another pshat that the Tosfos Rosh wants to suggest, the Ramei and Rebbe Lezer weren't expressing their own opinion. They were arguing what was the opinion of the Tanakhama and what was the opinion of the Chachamim. Ramei's opinion is that the Tanakhama holds it's a Chayiv Chatas, and that's why the Rabbanon hold Potter Avalosser. And Rebbe Lezer's opinion was that the Tanakhama holds that it's only Potter Avalosser, it's only Mosim Ad Rabbanon, and the Chacham therefore are able to argue that it's Mutal Chatchila. So according to Tosfos Rosh, there's no two extremes because there aren't three opinions. There are only two opinions, and those two opinions don't represent extremes. The halacha is that when somebody does a melacha on Shabbos, b'mezid, in order to be chayiv misa, he has to be warned. He has to have asra. So the machlokes rishonim, how to approach the Gemara, because now we're learning that if you put something into the strainer, if we put wine through the strainer, there may be an Issa Deraisa. And there's a machlokes rishonim how to approach this Gemara. The simple way of explaining this Gemara is that you can never be chayiv b'mezer on Shabbos unless hasra is given. And now the Gemara wants to know what is the hasra. And that means you have to give hasra and you have to give the correct hasra. And without that, you won't be chayiv. And therefore the Gemara wants to know what is the hasra. However, there are other Rishonim that have a different approach to this Gemara. And their approach is as follows. If somebody is about to do something wrong on Shabbos, and you tell him what you're doing is an Av Melacha, that is considered a valid Hasra, even if you didn't explicitly say which Melacha is involved. However, if you say a Melacha, and you say the wrong Melacha, it's worse than not having said no Melacha at all. Because when you say the right Melacha, so the person has been properly warned. If you say the wrong Melacha, then the person who's perpetrating the Aveira could say, I didn't take this whole conversation seriously because I knew what you said is obviously incorrect. And therefore, it's better to say, just you do, according to those Rishonim, just to say what you're doing is a Melacha versus saying the wrong Melacha. So the Gemara wants to know, Mishamayim Mestrina Bay, if somebody does such a Melacha, if somebody puts something through the strainer, how do we give the proper Asra? Rava Amma Mishabayr, we tell the person that what you're doing is the Melacha Bayra, and Rav Zaira Amma, what you have to tell him is you're doing the Melacha Marakit. Amma Rava, Kavasida Di Mistabra, I think my opinion is correct, because let's think about Bayra. When one does Bayra, he takes the food and he leaves the unuseful part. You're taking out the wine. So Tosfos immediately asks that when we, not here, back on Daf Ayin Dalet Amud Aleph, the very mask of Bayra Eichel, when we learned the Melacha Bayra, then in that Sugya, we learned that the Isser Bayra is to take out the psoilus from the oichel. Taking out the oichel from the psoilus is not considered derech b'ayra. So why is our Gemara, why did Rava just say, as Tosfos, that when you take the wine out of the sediment, it's considered that you're doing b'ayra, you're taking the oichel out of the psoilus. And if you're taking the oichel out of the psoilus, that's not called b'ayra. So when we learned this sugya on Daf Ayin Dalet, we quoted the opinion of Tosfos that even though normally Bayer is indeed taking the psoilus out of the oichel, but in a situation where there's more oichel than psoilus, the Bayer is taking out when there's more psoilus when over the oichel, then taking the oichel out of the psoilus is the melacha Bayer. And that's what's the case here, that there's more sediment and other impurities than actual good wine. It's a chiddush. Not everybody agrees with that halacha. The Ritva says, the purpose of our Gemara is not to teach us what is Bayra. The point of the Gemara is to teach us that doing what the Gemara, doing this, is considered Bayra. But not that what the Gemara meant to say, that to describe accurately the Melacha Bayra. Says the Gemara, Amar Rav Zeira of Kavasida Di Mistabra, I think my opinion is correct. Mal Dakshal Marakad, Psoilus Mamal of Oichel Mamata, how is sifting done? The psoilus is on top, you sift, and the impurities are on top, and the pure goes on the bottom. Afachanami Psoilus Mamal of Oichel Mamata. Interesting, Machloikus Rashi and Taisus here. Rashi says that everybody agrees, even Rabba agrees, that putting something through the strainer involves the Melacha Marakit. He just being Mechadish, that it also involves the Melacha Bayra. Whereas Tosfos says, no, the Machloikus of Rabbi and Rabbi Zeira is a firm Machloikus. And Rabbi holds its Bayra, and Rabbi Zeira holds its Marakit, and they don't agree under any circumstances. Continues the Gemara, Tani Rami by Yecheskel. Talas Kfula Lo Yasa. A person should not make a tent by putting up a coat, the masa, and if somebody does so on Shabbos, potav losa, it's considered an issa derabbanan. Hayla karcha mshicha, but if it's already somewhat open, and this is the halacha that we've discussed previously, making an oil arai is osam derabbanan. Being meisif an oil arai is mutter. So if it's already somewhat open, and that's why the halacha is that if somebody has an awning over his sukkah, so to create the awning one may not do so on Shabbos or Yontif. But if the awning is already extended somewhat over the area that you want to cover, and you just want to extend it more, that's called Moisev al Oil Arai, and Moisev al Arai is Mutter. Baimenei Rav Kahana Marav, Kaila Mahu, what's the halach about putting up a canopy? Amalei Af Mita Asura. So he answered him that even making a bed is asur. So then he asked him, Mita Mahu, what is the halacha with constructing up a bed? Amalei Af Kilu Mataris. Kilu Mita Mahu, Amalei Kila Asura Mita Mataris. A canopy is asur and a bed is mutter. Very, very confusing answers. Says the Marvelo Kasha, everything can be understood. Hadakama Af Mita Asura. When he said that even a bed may not be said, Kidder Kamanoi. It's a bed like the Kamanoi beds. The Kamanoi beds was a bed that had to be constructed from scratch. Something that is constructed from scratch is obviously Asur. Hada Kamalei Af Kila Muteris. When he said a Kila is Mutter, is the case of Rami Becheskel, that it was already there somewhat. And we're just extending what is already existing. Moisef aloy laroy is mutter. Kila asur mita mutaras. Kedidon is referring to our bed. Something that a bed had to be reassembled. And therefore, a bed was preassembled. All you had to do is just put it up. So that's why it's mutter. Canopy has to be constructed from scratch. And that's why it's awesome. Amar Rav Yosef. Chazin alahan kil deber avhuna. I saw the canopies in the Homer of Huna. The Murta and the Gidu, at night they would set them up. With Mitzafra Chavit Ramya, in the morning they would disassemble them. And it's obvious that it's not Osir on Shabbos if that was done in his house. Amrav's Rab Mishram Chia. Vilon, when it comes to put up a curtain, Mutal and Toysoi, one may put it up, or Mutal and Farkoi, and one could take it down on Shabbos. The reason he holds that you may do so is because it's considered something that is not at all permanent. And since it's not considered at all permanent, that's why it's mutter. And actually, this goes back to a question that we discussed previously. When we spoke about pekak chaloyim, shuttering and opening, so Rashi says the definition of a chaloyim was a skylight. Tosfos says it was even a window. So according to Rashi, the Isser Binyan seemingly is only in a situation where we're doing something in the roof, not when we're doing something in the walls. Tosfos takes a stronger opinion, and Tosfos says that even something that's done vertically, not on the roof, could have a concern of Binyan. Al Gemar said that a vilon, you're not allowed to put up, because it's considered something that's only there with sneis, and it's not there on a permanent basis, and that's why it's mutter. However, there's a discussion in the Paiskim, what about putting up a proiches on the Aron HaKodesh? The proiches on the Aron HaKodesh is not meant to be taken back and forth. It's put there, and it stays there on a permanent price basis. So according to Rashi, explains the Sharm Tzion HaBalocha, that the entire Isser is on the roof. So this is not on the roof. And therefore, we could be more lenient. But according to Tosfos, even something which is a curtain, but if it has more of a permanent basis, it's Osir, it would probably be Osir to put up something on the Aron Kodesh, which is going to remain there on a permanent basis. Continues the Gemara of Amishmul, Mishum Rav Chia, Kilas Chsanim, the canopy, Mutalah, Toysoi Umutal Farkoi could be put up and taken down on Shabbos. Says the Gemara, a number of conditions. Armor of Sheshav Rei Dravidi, Loya Maron El She'en Begaga Tefach. Only if the roof is not a Tefach wide. Aviyesh Begaga Tefach, if the roof is a Tefach wide, then the Aloch is that it's Osir. That makes it into a, making an oil arai. Furthermore, says the Gemara, even if the roof is not a tefach wide, that within three tefachim of the top of this canopy, it never gets a tefach wide. If within three tefachim of the top of this canopy, it gets, it's a tefach. Why? That too, asur, because it's considered making an oil array. A third condition, that where it goes down, so it goes down as a upside down V, it goes up like a, it goes up like an upside down V to a point. If the two sides where it comes down to are a tefach each, there's a stick in the middle and two sides. If each side is a tefach wide, al yesh b'shipur tefach, shipur olam ka'olidami. Last halacha, v'lo yamaron ela d'lo yinachas mipur yatefach. If it doesn't go down a tefach on the side, but if it goes down a tefach on the side, then the halacha is avnachas mipur yatefach also. And this question comes up regarding putting up a tablecloth. So what's going to be an halacha if you put a tablecloth on your table on Shabbos and it goes down on the sides, a tefach? Why is that not considered at least b'drabanan that you made an oil array? So the Paiskim explain, as we've said in our shiur more than once today, it's only considered an oil array if you need the area, if you're constructing this or you're putting this up for the area underneath. If there is no purpose in putting it up for the area underneath, that isn't considered an oil. When somebody puts a tablecloth on the table, the reason he's doing it is to cover the table. But there's no point. The tablecloth does not in any way serve for the area under the table, and therefore that's why it's not considered making an oil array. V'amar Rav Sheshet b'Reidah Rav Idi, Hai Seyane, wearing a type of hat on Shabbos Shari, asked the Gemara, V'itma Seyane Asur, that one may not wear a hat on Shabbos, because if the hat extends past the face, that should be considered making an oil array. Answers the Gemara like Kasha. If it extends a tefach past your head, then it's going to be considered that you made an oil aray. If it doesn't extend the tefach, there's no concern of oil aray. Ask the Gemara if the consideration is if it goes past your head a tefach or not. If somebody put on a cape which extends a tefach when he puts it on past his body, you put on a talus and you extend it past your body, a tefach. So will the halacha be hachnami the mechayif? Says the Gemara loy kasha. The braisa that says that you're allowed to wear a hat is the mehedik when it's fitted tightly. Had loy mehedik, but if it's not fitted tightly, then you're not allowed to wear it because there's a new concern, and that is the concern that it may fly away. So when we speak about it being put on tight, there are two explanations that the Rishonim explain what means that it should be tight. One is it should be tied like with a string to prevent it from flying away. And the other explanation is that it's put in your head fits very well into the head hat. And therefore, since your head fits well into your hat, that's why the halacha is that it's mutar. So that's how Rashi learns the Gemara. Tosfos disagrees. And Tosfos says the Gemara is not moving away from the concern that was expressed that wearing a hat involves a tefach, involves making an oil. Just Tosfos explains that when it's not that far away, then when it's not a tefach, so then there's no concern of making an oil. So it certainly it seems that if the hat is not a tefach wide, and according to Rashi, if it fits on tight, and it's maybe made out of a strong material, the halacha is that it's mutter. But the Gemara was concerned that if you ever spread out something past the tefach, that you should be concerned of making an oil array. So the Sefer Tilal David discusses, we know that in many shuls, the meaning is that you know, that they on Simchas Torah, Chasan Torah, Chasam Bereshis, they put a talus over the heads of the people, everybody standing around the bima during those aliyahs. Why is that not considered? There was nothing there from before. And why is that not considered making an oil? So the answer is that an oil, as we keep on learning in our shiur, doesn't only involve the top. It also involves the sides. Here there's nothing going down to the sides. Since there's nothing going down to the sides, that's not considered making an oil. Furthermore, the Avni Nezer, the Shas Chubis Avni Nezer, or Chaim Simen Reish Chof Beis, says that the definition of an oil is when you make something as a protection. Here, this is not being made to serve as a protection. It's being made just for covered, for the covered of Chasson Torah and the covered of Chasson Bereshis, so that doesn't have the necessary elements of an oil, and since it doesn't have the necessary elements to be considered an oil, it's not osur. So here we had the machlokes of Rashi and Tosfos. If wearing a hat that sticks out of tefach is osur or mutar. And the Noda Behuda explains why Rashi holds that wearing a hat is not considered making an oil, because an oil is not something stationary. And something which is not stationary cannot be considered making an oil. But, says the Noda Behuda, we have to remember that Tosfos disagrees with Rashi. And as we said, Tosfos' opinion is that wearing a wide-brim hat is considered an oil. And that's why it's very famous that according to the Noda Behuda, he was the one that was very strong about this, one may not carry an umbrella on Shabbos, because carrying an umbrella on Shabbos is wider than a tefach. It's there to protect you, and therefore, according to Tosfos, it has all the qualifications of what we just discussed in the Gemara about the wide-brimmed hat. And that's why the Noda Behuda was very strict in not allowing to go out on Shabbos with an umbrella. Not only was he strict about opening an umbrella, but he held even if the umbrella was open from before Shabbos and you just wanted to walk out with that umbrella on Shabbos, it would also be usur, just like putting on the hat that already has that tefach wide brim and wearing it outside on Shabbos. Says the Gemara, Shalach Rei Rama Be'echeskel Rav Huna. Emelon Easy, please tell me, my friend, Hani Mili Ma'ayas Adam Elam Shmei the Rav, some of the wonderful halachas that you learned in the name of Rav. So he said, Tati B'Shabbos, there were two halachas you said that evolved Hilchus Shabbos, V'chad B'Torah, and one speaks about learning Torah. Hadatanya, Shalach Lei, so Rav Huna sent them the following halachas. Hadatanya, good B'Ksina Mutal K'dois B'Shabbos, that we learned that you're allowed to put on that leather bag on Shabbos, that we discussed that they used to use to keep food cool in it. Loya Maran was only said in a situation where it takes two people to wear it. Since it takes two people to put it out, it won't be put up in such a tight manner. If it's being put up by one person, then it's usur, because it's going to be put on in a tight fashion. And since it's going to be put on a tight fashion, then it's going to be considered making an oil arai. Amar Abaya, v'kula afil b'ser b'nei adam, usur. If I hold a kilo, putting up a canopy, even with 10 people, is usur. When you put up a canopy, it's going to be put up tight. And therefore, since it's going to be put up tight, it's awesome. Idach mahi, what's the next halacha? The Tanya. Kirish nishmita ach mirchasa, an oven which one of its legs broke off, mutal tatla, you could still move it on Shabbos. Shtayim, but if two legs broke off, asur. Why? Because if two legs broke off, it can't be used. The oven cannot stand when it's standing only with two legs. And therefore, it doesn't have the status of a keli. And as we've learned extensively, if something loses the status of a keli, it's muksa on Shabbos. Rav Amar, afil chad nami asur. Even if it's only missing one leg, and therefore it's usable, and since it's usable, it should not be considered muksa, there's a new consideration. The consideration is gzeir shema yitaka. We're concerned that you may screw that other leg in tight, and if you screw that other leg in tight, that's also on Shabbos. It says about Torah. Why did he speak about Torah? Dama Rav. I see the Torah shtakach in Yisrael. Torah will be forgotten by Klal Yisrael. Shnema, v'ifla Hashem es makasecha. The pasuk says, v'ifla Hashem es makasecha. And a flaw is any day mahu. I don't know what is meant with a flaw. Shoimer, when the pasuk says l'chinei yosef l'hafli es amaze hafli v'fella, the pasuk speaks about the terrible punishments that will come against Klai Yisrael. Havoima haflaw is a Torah. That means that Klai Yisrael is going to forget the Torah that they learned. So I saw a beautiful pshat from the Satmar Rebbe, the Divrei Yoel. He says that the Gemara here uses a very interesting language. The Gemara says, the pasuk says, V'hifla Hashem sevkesecha, and the Gemara says, haflaw ze eni yedei mahu. The Gemara wants to explain to us what haflaw means, but it's not the style of the Gemara to say, I don't know what it means, and this is what it means. So he says that when you think, this is a pasuk in the Teichacha, and he says, when you think about all the other punishments that are mentioned in the Teichacha, they're, when somebody, Nebuch, is afflicted, that he's sick, or suffers any other such calamity, he feels the pain. But when somebody forgets his Torah, it's not a pain that he feels. In fact, if somebody is not a Talmud Chacham, he doesn't even recognize what he's missing. And that's what that's the biggest tzara. The biggest type of problem is a problem when you don't know that you have a problem. It says the Satmar Rebbe, that's what the Gemara means. Hafla zu. You know what the punishment here is? Any idea that you don't know your punishment. But the Tver Shloima, actually in the Tver Shloima, Shabbos Nachmu, says that we shouldn't take this Gemara as a terrible punishment. We should actually look at this Gemara as a cancellation. He says, Klal Yisrael, and that's the way HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the world, he indicates, only gets saved when they're at a very low point. He says the world was created, yesh mi'ayin, from nothing. He says we, Klal Yisrael, are compared to the moon. We know that every month, the moon disappears to being invisible, and then it grows back to a full moon. That's what HaKadosh Baruch Hu is saying. There's going to be a time, unfortunately, I see the Torah shetishtakech miYisrael. We're going to forget all of the Torah. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, when you're that low point, that's when you know that there's going to be Yeshua afterwards. Tana Rabbanan, kshenichnas Rabbi Sena l'kerem b'yavna amru, asir Torah shetishtakech miYisrael, the Torah will be forgotten by Klal Yisrael. Shina mehine yom boam, num Hashem, v'shlachti ro'a ba'aretz, there will be a hunger in the world. L'rov l'lechem, v'lo'tzom l'rmayim, people won't be hungry for bread, for water. Ki im l'shmoyas tvar Hashem. Ksiv no, miyom v'adyam, u'mitzofen ha-mizuch. They're going to travel throughout the world. Yishayt to levakish the tvar Hashem. They're going to be searching for the tvar Hashem, v'lo yom tzo, and they won't be able to find it. Tvar Hashem zu alocha, tvar Hashem zu akeitz. We won't know when is Mashiach coming. Tvar Hashem zu nevuah, there won't be any nevuah. Says the Gemara, ma yishayt to levakish tvar Hashem. Says the Gemara, Amra Isa Shetitul Kika Shal Truma. There's going to be a time where a woman is going to take a loaf of bread of Truma. V'tachsa v'batik nisoyis v'batim medreshis. She's going to go to all the Rabbonim, lay them Tamehim Tairi. What is the status of this Truma? Is it Tamei Yitar? V'ayim Mevin, and nobody will be able to give her answer. Ask the Gemara, Im Tahiri, Im Tamehi. People won't, the Rabbonim won't be able to answer if it's Tar or Tamei. Behadjik Sebei. That's something that's explicit in the Torah. The Torah says, "B'kol oicha shi'oichu." So we know that food can become tamei. Eleda to know im rishonahi v'mshnihi. If it's in the status of a rishon tamei or sheni tamei, they may even nobody will be able to answer. Says the Gemara, "Hanami masnisanhi." The case is described in the Mishnah, and the Gemara is assuming, knowing a pasuk in Chumash, knowing a Mishnah is not considered forgetting Torah. Kiretanan hasherit shenimtzu b'tanur. We know that earthen, that their furnaces, their tanner, were made out of earthenware. And earthenware is metame metoichai. That means that if the sherets suspended in the air of the earthenware, it becomes tame. And the aloch is shapas shebetoichai shniya. The pas is becomes a sheni latoma, because the tanner is a rishon latoma. And it's important to know if something's a rishon latoma or a sheni latoma, because a rishon transfers tumah to oichlin a mashkin, a sheni only gives off tumah to truma or to kachim. So it's obvious what the halach is. Says the Gemara, the question will be, how do we look at this tanner in which a sheretz is suspended? Do we look at this tanner command the mali tuma as if it's full of tuma? So it's as if the pas which is in that tanner, the bread that's in that tanner, is actually touching the sheretz and it becomes a rishonal tuma. Amalei, so he said, we don't look like the tanner as if it's full of tuma. The tanya, for the Braisa teaches us, we think that any keli that's in the av of a kli cheres should become tamei. That since the oven is tamei, the halacha is anything in it is like touching tuma. Tamalam kol shab toich yitim kol oichel sheyoichel. Oichel matam ba'avi kli cheres, because the oichel can become a rishon l'tuma, then keli matam ba'avi kli cheres. They can't become tummy in this manner. Why? Because we don't look at it as if the object in the oven is touching the sherets. Rather, we look like the walls become tummy from the sherets. And then something inside is only becoming tummy, not by direct touching of tumah. So we see that we don't consider it as if it's full of tumah.